Book of Psalms, if you would. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. We're asking God to continue to bless us in His Word. Our theme has been us in the Word and the Word in us as we go into these fall campaigns of God's precious Word, that we be better students September, October, November, and December, and then on into the new year. We're focusing on the Word of God, that it's not what pastor says or the choir says or a Sunday school teacher or a deacon, but what we need is the power of God's Word living in us, and that we spend more time in the Word, and that we pray about reading the Word, memorizing the Word, because it is the power of God's Word to transform my life. I have problems, you have problems. But God's Word can encounter those problems. I have doubts, you have doubts, but God's Word helps me with my doubts. And the prayer that we have today is that God would increase our faith, that we would pray one for another, that I would pray for you, you would pray for me. God, help my faith. When I pray for the pastors that I work with, and I pray for the ladies in the office and the folks over at RSM, that the ministry office, and those that work in the tent ministry and over at Hearts with Hands, one of the things you pray about is, God, not only would you keep them and watch over them, but God, would you help their faith? Would you touch them and strengthen them? You begin to think about all the things that we face as individuals. It's not easy being a believer in today's world. It's not easy coping with the skepticism and cynicism of this day's world. And we need the strength and power of God's Word. In Psalms 19, the Bible declares that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There's not one place around the world where even nature does not preach about the power of God. He's saying the glory of God. And isn't it this week or this month that Jupiter's going to be so close and bright, and we can see the planets? I think that's the thing that's going to be going on in the night heavens. And for the next, you know, we've had 7 or 8 beautiful days and nights, and for the next week or two, it's going to be that way, that you can go outside at night, and even at nighttime, the glory of God is declared in the heavens, that you can see that. Well, he says the heavens declare the glory of God, and then the earth itself, the firmament, showeth His handiwork. That's the flowers, the trees, and that's the beautiful coastline and the ocean. That's the birds. That's all of the creation that God's placed here. Day unto day utter a speech. Every day when you see that, you hear that, it talks, it testifies. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, if you live in China, you can see this same truth. If you live in Africa, you can see this same truth. It doesn't matter where you are, God's message is being declared. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. We keep coming up to that word tabernacle in the Word of God. We know that we have the teaching and the blessings of God in the tabernacle being illustrated together. We know that we had in Exodus 12, a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. The Passover was about to occur. And when they go into the wilderness, God gives them a tabernacle, a tent, where He would dwell with the people. We know that when they settled in Jerusalem, that He gave them the temple area, that He could come and meet with them, the Shekinah glory. He would tabernacle or dwell with them. We know that when the head of the home, every Jewish man being the head of his home, he would take his prayer shawl, pull it up over his head, make a tallit, a tent, and he would there cry out unto God, and God would tabernacle with the head of every home. being the extended church or family of that day. And we know that when Jesus was born, He said that He would tabernacle with us. All right? He would dwell with us. He would reveal Himself to us. And we have it here in verse 4, in them, He set a tabernacle for the Son. He's allowing the heavens to declare the glory of God. They are in the tabernacle. They are testifying. They are preaching about the greatness of God, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. The strength, the might, the virility of God is going forth. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and His circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Then verse number 10, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, they much fine gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. God said, if you study these things, you study my law, my statutes, my promises, it's more precious in your life than gold or silver. It's better than any treasure. It's better than anything you can eat. What he's saying, better than anything you can hand to your body, materially, physically, you'll find that my word is much greater because it's going to deal with you and your faith and your mental and spiritual health for this world and even the world to come. Can you think of anything much more wonderful than to be able to go to bed tonight and know that your sins have been forgiven? You know, we've been blessed over at the tent meeting in Bristol. We've had people saved every single night. And Thursday night, we went to leave, and a man came back in the tent. And he said, I can't leave. He said, I'm afraid to go home. And he said, I want the Lord to save me. But here's what he said. He said, I am afraid to ask Him. And I said, all right. And we walked up front, and we sat down for a few moments, and we began to talk. And I said, why are you afraid to ask Him? You know what his answer was? He said, I'm afraid He won't save me. I'm afraid He won't. And so I don't want to ask Him because I'm afraid. I'm afraid to believe, because if I believe, what if He doesn't? Then what will I do? Aren't you grateful that God put it in His Word, whosoever will may come? Aren't you grateful that if you believe, He can forgive you? And boy, he knelt down, and in many ways his prayer was so simple. It was much like a child praying. And he knelt down, and he said, do you think He will? I said, yes, He will. He said, but I don't know if I can. He said, do you think? I said, yes, He will. And I got so excited for him. And he said, I'm just afraid. He said, I know that sounds silly, but what if he doesn't? I said, well, why don't you ask him and see what he does? And he said, okay, I will. And he began to pray, and he began to tell God, I am lost. I am helpless. I do need you to forgive me. I don't want to live like this. I do want to know if I can go to heaven. Please save me. And I kept watching his face. In a little while, I saw his face change while he was still praying. Jack, I knew the work was done because of the Spirit that had changed his countenance. You can tell when that peace arrives and you know that your sins have been forgiven. Oh, the faith to believe. And I got to thinking about this old world that we're in and how many ways the devil tries to discourage you, discourage me. And Mickey, I saw Pastor Tony in May at the tent Friday night. And there he is on a walker. And I thought about all of those years of pastoring and being faithful, and now frail and feeble and barely able to get into the service and to be there. And the whole time I preached, he was weeping and crying. But he was weeping for another reason. You know why he was weeping? He wanted to preach. Yeah, he wanted to be in the race. He wanted to be able to do that. But since he couldn't, the whole time I was preaching, he was praying for me. And he was saying, God, if I can't preach, then you preach him. And I had such liberty to preach Friday night, and the choir, they're such a blessing, and just like I preach off their love and prayers here at the church, I did the same thing there, Joe. There was that liberty to preach the Word of God. And I got to thinking about, God, you help us in so many ways. When our faith is weak, when our physical man is weak, when our spiritual man is weak, he is a very present help in the time of trouble. He does hear us even before we ask or call. And he is that kind of God. He is that strength. And many times the world, whether it's 24 hours of news, or whether it's skepticism and cynicism, or people that have been hurt at church, how many times have you heard me say, if you want to get your feelings hurt, join the church? Because church people, they just sort of specialize. They go off to some kind of school or something on how to hurt people's feelings. I don't know how they do that. But it happens. You know why? Because the devil goes out of his way, if people are trying to serve God, that he allows little things to happen to be a distraction or a discouragement. And that's why you hear me say so many times, don't watch someone else. Don't look at a person. Look above the people and look at Jesus. We're not here to please each other. We're here to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And that helps us do what? That helps us grow up. That helps us mature. That helps us be able to help others by maturing in our faith. But if the devil could, he would distract you. He would defeat you. He would get you looking at other people. And he would allow the world to discourage you. I read a story the other day about two gentlemen that were flying on the airplane. And they got on the airplane and they gave them the welcome and they buckled up and they got comfortable and they said hey to each other. And then they went through the takeoff, and when they had got up to a cruising altitude, one of the gentlemen looked over at the other fellow and he says, they were traveling up in business class, he said, what do you do for a living? And the gentleman replied, he said, I'm a minister. And this other businessman, he said, oh, really? He said, very cynical, skeptical. He said, I don't believe in all that religious stuff, you know. It's for kids. He said, you know, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. He said, that's for kids. And the minister, politely, he tried to smile and be congenial and not smack him upside the head, and he tried to be nice and said, oh, well, what do you do for a living? And he said, oh, well, I'm an astronomer. I work with a company and we're developing guidance systems off the stars. He said, I'm an astronomer. And he said, oh, really? He said, I thought that astronomy stuff was for kids, you know, twinkle, twinkle, little star and all that kind of stuff. Well, you've got to be tough-skinned, but you also got to be quick-witted. Say amen. You got to be able to say that I'm not going to allow the world to discourage me. I'm not going to allow the world to defeat me. I'm going to have that faith and believe. But you know and I know that all these things are together. We're living and we're working. And if the devil could, he would distract every one of us. He would discourage all of us. But the truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we're just people. And he said in Psalms 51 in verse 12, continuing to read in the Psalms, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. One of the things I think that's fascinating about that passage is he said, I'll restore unto me the joy. In other words, I had joy, but maybe I've lost my joy. Or maybe I've allowed things to hurt me, hurt my feelings, or circumstances get me down. It's hard to be faith-filled. It's hard to be joy-filled. It's hard to be happy and smiling when you're battling something physically in your body. I don't care how much you love the Lord, it's tough. It's hard to come into the church and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," when they tack the foreclosure note on the front of your house. That's tough. You love the Lord, but I'm telling you, those days are tough. It's hard to come in this building and sing that I've got joy down in my heart when they just announced at work on Friday they're laying off your shift. Or they're cutting your hours in half. I don't care how spiritual you are. It's hard to exhibit the joy of the Lord when the circumstances of life overwhelm us. When you find out someone you love is getting a divorce, or one of your children is going through a hard time emotionally or financially, and you love them and you feel so helpless to reach out and help them, and you're saying, "What can I do?" You see, if we're not careful, we allow circumstances or happenings to control our happiness. But that's not what it's about. He's talking about the joy of the Lord. This is Jesus inside of us. You may be suffering bereavement. It's not the circumstance we're talking about. It's that God is with us in the circumstance. That is the joy of the Lord. Is that He did not abandon me in that problem. That He did not leave me in that lonely time. No one wants to go through a problem. No one wants someone you love to be hurt. No one wants to know your daughter is in a tough place, or your son is in the world, or someone you love is getting a divorce, or someone you love is battling a disease, or someone you love is in the deepest, darkest depression, and they can't seem to get out. No one wants to do that. No, and it breaks your heart, and you feel so helpless, and it's hard for you to smile. It's hard for you to say, you know, "We're going to get through this." It's even hard for you to encourage them, because you're struggling your own self with your own faith. But you know what God's saying? God's saying the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not Baptist strength or Presbyterian or Methodist strength. It is the Lord. It's not Pastor Ralph. It's not this great choir. It is the Lord that is your strength. It's not whether or not you've got money in the bank, or you can solve all the problems, or you can be the cruise director for your family and make everybody happy. That's not what it's about. It's the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I get distracted with my problems, and sometimes even the problems of others, I get my eyes off Jesus, and I have to go to Psalms 51. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me. Uphold me with thy free spirit. God, you remind me that I've got so much to thank you for, so much to praise you for. You have blessed me. You know what down through the years has been the strength of the church? Is that we went to school and to work, to the neighborhood, to the family reunions, and we had a smile, and we had victory, and we had joy. And lost people would look at us and say, "I don't know what they got, but I sure would like to have some." That peace in the storm. That joy. It's not that we are any different from anyone else. They get a flat tire, and you can get a flat tire. Your radiator can leak, and their radiator can leak. And your hot water heater can blow up at your house, and my hot water heater can blow up. And I'll have to call Jeff Whitley to come over there and fix it. Say amen, Jeff. That's right. And he'll say it's not the hot water heater, it's George House. He's got to rewire the whole thing. But do you understand what I'm saying, church? They have problems just like we do. their roof can get a leak, your roof can get a leak. Their transmission can go out in their truck just like it can go out in your truck. The difference is that when we're in our problems and our circumstances, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is that we can call upon Him and we know that He is a very present help in the time of trouble. That if I reach out to Him, if I call upon Him, He will hear my cry. I read a story about a lady whose child got very sick, and her husband was a long-haul truck driver, and it seemed like every time there was a crisis, he was on the road. He was gone, Eugene. He was somewhere down the road. But you know what would happen? It seemed like that every time she really needed someone, there was no one there. And the devil just kept sort of beating her up with that. Well, one day, sure enough, her husband was on a long haul, and they got a 9 or 10 month old baby. And I'm going to tell you, nothing will make a parent panic anymore and feel any more helpless than for your baby to get sick. Because you just, what can you do? And so she quickly started taking the temperature. It's 101. It's 102. It's 103. She said, you know, we got to get to the pediatrician. And she bundled up the little baby, got out to the car by herself, put in the car seat, took off to the pediatrician. They get there. It's already 104. And so the doctor begins to check and said, yes, there's an infection, and we need to get you to the pharmacy. It's about time for the pharmacy to close in their little community. Said, here's the medicine. Here's my number. If you need me during the night, you go get this filled. She comes out of the doctor's office. The sun's going down. It's getting dark. And she quickly drives over to the pharmacy. And sure enough, just as she pulls up there in front of the pharmacy, she realizes it's closing time. And she jumps out of the car, leaves the little baby right there in the front seat. She pulled right up near the front, jumps out, runs in, and said, listen, my baby's sick. Here's the prescription. Will you fill them for you close? Sure, we will. She said, I'm going to need some Motrin drops and a couple of other things, Pedialyte, and she was getting it all, and she'd run back over to the door. The car's sitting right there, and the little baby had gone off to sleep from the meds from there at the doctor's office, and her husband's gone. It's dark outside. I'm getting prescription. I don't have the money for this. My baby's sick. Sort of overwhelming. We've all had days like that. She got the prescription, thanked the pharmacist for staying, went out the door, and just as they went out the door, they dropped the big metal gate, shut it down, closed the door. She's walking to her car, gets to the car door. It's locked. She had locked the keys in the car. Now, there's the baby. The engine's running, 104 fever, medicine in her hand. They dropped the gates. They cut off the light. They went out the back door of the store, and she's standing in a dark parking lot. Husband's out of town. What am I going to do? And she just began to panic, and for the first time, she had a little bit of that helplessness and the tears, and she just looked up and said, God, you're going to have to help me. God, what am I going to do? I've got the medicine, the baby's in the car, the keys are locked up. God, please. God, you're going to have to help me. And she was about to panic, and just as she said that, she heard a voice say, ma'am, are you okay? And she turned and looked, and a guy stepped out of the shadows of the building. And it startled her for a moment, and she said, well, really, no, sir, I'm not okay. Said, my baby's sick, got a fever, and I got the medicine, and I was in such a hurry, I locked the keys up in the car. And he walked up to the car, and he looked in, and he saw the baby, and he saw the engines running, and saw the keys. And he said, well, maybe I can help you. And he walked away from the building for a moment, and he looked around the edge of the gutter. He saw a coat hanger, and he picked it up, and he unwound it, and he began to move the tip around a little bit. He walked up to the car, put it in the side of the glass, 15, 20 seconds, pop, he opened the door. And she went, praise the Lord. I just prayed for God to send me an angel, somebody to help me. He said, thank the Lord. He said, you must be a Christian. And he said, well, no, ma'am, not exactly. I'm a car thief. I just got out of prison yesterday. And she went, he was casing her car. He was going to boost her car. He said, I just got out of prison. And she went, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that just like the God I serve? I'm in a bind and he sends me a professional. That's just like Jesus, isn't it? When you need help, he sends you a pro. Probably a church member. I don't know. But God's good to us, church. We ought to serve him with all our hearts, soul, minds, and body. What makes a difference in the life of a believer? How do we get this kind of faith? How do we get this kind of power? Ephesians 3:19 says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isaiah said you need to be thirsty for more of God and less of you. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon the seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. We know that was written to earthly Israel, but we also know that God will water the thirsty soul that's sitting in church on Sunday morning. God will bless us. You know, if you go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We all ask God to fill us with him. And God, anything inside of me that doesn't look like you, would you please take it away? Would you begin to work on me? I want to be more like you and less like me. God, I want to have that faith. I want to be able to have that temperament. I want to be able to see you moving on my life. Ladies and gentlemen, what would happen here at Trinity Baptist Church if we had a collective and a common prayer? God, change us. God, fill us. God, make us our lives a living light and a difference, because he is no respecter of person. God did the same, you know, in his word for Gideon. He did the same for Samson. He did the same for David. He did the same for Saul. You study those lives. What do you find in the word? In Judges chapter 6 and verse 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And what about Jacob? I've always been fascinated with that relationship in Jacob. Genesis 32, 26. I will not let thee go except thou what? Bless me. God, I'm not going to turn loose. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep believing. God, give me the faith to believe. Change my Christian life. Give me back my smile. Give me back my joy. Give me back my victory. Give me the will to testify. In Judges 14:6, Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. 1 Samuel 16:13, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. 1 Samuel 11:6, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. We see all of those events in the Word of God. God visiting individuals, making a difference with a life. God allowing them to be changed. I want to have that kind of appetite. I want to have that kind of hunger for more of God and less of me. And I want to have the faith to believe the promises of God, even in the tough time, even in the time of adversity. Sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Right? Have you ever been hurting so bad on the inside? You don't even know how to put it into a prayer? Have you ever been so scared of the circumstance? What's going to happen next? The devil, he specializes in fear. He'll pull the rug out from under you, jump on you, knock the breath out of you, and then you'll think, what am I going to do next? How am I going to survive? Everything I had, my security blankets, they're all pulled away. He specializes in that. And when you have those moments of overwhelming fear and anxiety, sometimes it's very hard to pray. What do I pray for? I don't even know how to put that in a prayer. I'm so scared, I can't even pray. That's how spiritual I feel, God. You see, and the devil will come and he'll say, well, if you were spiritual, you'd know how to pray. But sometimes the circumstance has kicked you so hard, you don't even know how to pray. I read a story about a little girl that got lost. She was on a family hike. I believe the state was Kentucky, I'm not sure. And she got lost. They were on a family hike. She was supposed to be with her older brothers. And they all got to playing. Somehow she got separated, 4 or 5 years old. And she was just a precious, beautiful little girl. The whole family went into full-blown panic. We got to find her before the sun goes down. They went down, called the sheriff, and they got the fire and the rescue squad, and they began to meet and divide up, and they started notifying all the landowners around that hiking area, be on the lookout, gave a description. And some of the people that owned the land, they started joining the search. Keith, they started going back in, and one of the guys that had a tractor, his meadow and farm joined the back of that hill where they were hiking. And in the course of that, that little girl, she just kept walking down the hill, down the hill, down the hill, and she finally just came out in that meadow. And she came to the fence, she crossed the fence, and she's actually inside this farmer's property. And she sits down. She doesn't know what to do, where to go, and she's crying, and then she's praying, and then she's calling for her daddy and her mama and her brothers. And finally, she got so tired, she just sat down. And this farmer joined in the hunt, and he went back through there, and he saw her, thought he saw a little dress or saw her clothing against the fence, and he cut off his tractor. He didn't want to scare her, and he started walking over to her. And when he got close, she was saying, thank you, God. Amen. A, B, C, D, E. Thank you, God. E, F, G. And she was just praying. And he said, hey, darling. He didn't want to scare her. And she looked up and she said, hey! She jumped up. She said, I knew you were coming. And he said, you don't know me. She said, oh, I knew you were coming. I've been praying you'd get here. I knew you were coming. You were coming to get me. And he said, but baby, you don't know me. And when I got here, you weren't praying. You were saying your ABCs. And she said, I just prayed that way because I don't know what I need to pray. And I just gave him the letters and told him to put them in the words they needed to be. Huh? Sometimes I don't know what to pray. I just give him the ABCs. You put it into words. You help me, God. Be a very present help. Let's ask God to give us the faith to believe. Let's make this a day of victory. As we think about our children this afternoon at 5 o'clock and our teenagers, they've never needed the Lord more. They've never needed Christian homes more. I thought about the families working in our nursery ministry today. I walked by all those beautiful buildings and all the things that go into the safety and the well-being of our babies so the moms and dads can come into service. And I thought, oh, what a blessing. But just as much as we go to time, expense, and training and preparation for a nursery worker to care for a baby, how much more does God work on us that we can rest in His arms and that we can have the safety and security of knowing that He will take care of us? You say, but I've had the wind knocked out of me. Just pray the ABCs. Just say, God, You put it together. I don't even know what to pray. But when the help comes, rejoice. Didn't she praise? She said, I knew You were coming. She had the faith to believe that God would answer her prayer. Let's pray together this morning.